Song that I had in heavy rotation this summer at my place. It's a song that makes me think about cooking dinner, drinking wine, and lingering candle-lit desserts. From Hamilton, Ontario, this is Tara Lightfoot with No Hurry.
You are tuned to KWMR, Point Reyes Station, broadcasting at 90.5 in Point Reyes Station, 89.9 in Bolinas, and 92.3 in San Geronimo Valley. We stream live from kwmr.org, that's worldwide. Here in West Marin, we can be heard on Horizon Cable, Channel 47. It's time for Turning Pages. Today we have a special presentation, writers from the group Harvesting Your Life. Please stay with us. Good morning and welcome to a special edition of Turning Pages. I'm Lyons Filmer. With me in the room are writing teacher Renata Stendahl and four of her students. Renata, welcome, and welcome to all of you writers. Thanks for coming into KWMR.
We're excited to be here. Thank you, Lions. A little introduction before we start. At a certain age, we have gathered quite some experience of being alive. We look back and find a lot to harvest for ourselves, and not just for ourselves, but for others as well. The idea of harvesting your life came to me some years ago with my parents. I saw them aging and I became curious. How did they see their lives now that they were seniors and elders? There were many stories I longed to hear or hear again. I had many questions, so I encouraged them to write down some of their life stories. Neither one of my parents had ever written anything but letters. But my father ended up putting down his story, proudly calling it his autobiography. It was a big surprise when he finished it, and it was deeply meaningful to him and me and everyone in the family. Being a writer myself, this brought home to me the importance of legacy. Everyone has a legacy to leave for loved ones and friends and even sometimes strangers. I thought that writing one's life, bringing in one's harvest, is a gift, first of all to oneself, but way more than that. I am also an editor and have given a number of writing workshops. A year and a half ago, I suggested to volunteer the group for senior services in Point Reyes. We found a lovely community place to meet, and there we were, 6 to 9 members, all of us seniors. We have been meeting every 2 weeks for a morning workshop of 1.5 hours to share whatever had been written. Memories, poems, stories, reflections, family histories. There's only one rule, to bring in no more than 2 pages each time so that each member can get a chance to be heard and get attention at each workshop. So far, it has been a very rich harvest, which was even shared with our community. Twice, our local paper, The Citizen, let the harvesters be the centerfold. We may be able to talk more about the group at the end of our reading, but now we'll pass the mic to 4 members of the group, 4 harvesters. Here they are.
With whom do we begin?
Begin with Fran.
Good morning. My name is Fran Jaeckel. I began participating with Harvesting Your Life a little over a year ago. Gail told me about this wonderful group and asked if I'd like to try it. What a neat idea. I came to a meeting and kept coming back. I've always enjoyed writing stories, things that happened and why they worked out the way they did. I haven't shared any writings until participating in Harvesting Your Life. I was born in, raised in, worked in, retired in the city. My only experiences being in the countryside were occasional family picnics in nearby state parks. Now, here's my piece, Into the Picture. Since childhood, I've wanted to wander through the mountains, hills, valleys, forests, ponds, pools, and streams of this earth. Because of allergies to pollen, mold, microbes in dirt, insect bites and stings, I didn't get outdoors much. Photography books were my doorway into that world. For years, I'd sit at a table, open a book, prop it up, and walk into the photos page by page, all the while imagining what was behind this bush, that tree, or beyond the scene. What creature was just out of sight? As an adult, my allergies came under reasonable control, so I began hiking locally. Having survived those hikes, I signed on for a Sierra Club base camp one summer, then the next, and the next, and the next. To my amazement and great joy, many places I camped were the same that I'd seen in the photography books I loved. I was seeing what I'd hoped would be there through all the years of walking into the beautiful scenes in books like In Wildness is the Preservation of the World. I was coming home to places I'd never physically been, My heart's home. I began writing in those mountains, small bites, some longer ones. Finally, being able to hike and camp in the mountains was as beautiful as I'd ever hoped, better than I could have imagined. Hiking was a delight. Landscapes, plants, creatures, skies, clouds, rock forms, water ways, they were all beautiful and felt so comfortable. I felt at home. At first, I thought it was just good luck that I wasn't getting lost, even when hiking alone. Little by little, I realized something or someone in nature was looking out for this city kid, telling me where to go or not go. By my second year in the mountains, I decided there was an entity guiding me. I called him Mountain. Each night I made notes about my day, what I was learning, and questions I had. Here's some of what I learned. How do I pick my way cross-country? Mountain tells me. Mountain tells me where to cross talus, where to find meadows, where to ford water, where to find wildflowers, where to find uncluttered rest. Mountain rations trees so they're appreciated. Mountain is patient. He repeats when my mind is somewhere else, then provides new views as I turn. Mountain makes lakes that foster life. Mountain raises wind to chase away mosquitoes, dry my clothes, cool me. How does Mountain speak to me? I'm not sure. I don't hear with my ears. When I touch Mountain, my feet, heart, and hands listen. When I touch Mountain, I know rock is safe to cross or it's not. My feet respond to what they're told. Mountain speaks, I respond. Mountain speaks to those who listen. Over the years, I've learned that Mountain has relatives in all landscapes. Marin hills, valleys, shores, cliffs, beaches, and creek beds are all willing and ready to speak to us. We just need to reach out and listen. Thank you.
And now Norma.
My name is Norma Schliffman, and my daughter, Amy, is a well-known physical therapist here in town for a number of years. I'm originally from New York. Actually, Amy is too. But my husband and I had a business, and we retired to Florida. When Amy graduated from college, she moved to California. So that's how long she's here. And my husband died in 2005 when we were in Florida. And Amy insisted that I come and live here because she wanted to watch over me, which really turned out extremely well. I have many interests, and one of them is writing, which I've enjoyed very much, especially working with Renata. This is a poem that I wrote called The Heavenly Quilt. Living Point Reyes toward Petaluma and beyond is a sweeping panorama that clutches the soul. It is miles and miles of soft round hills adorned with mounds of bushes and trees. At times we see walls of earth and stone that undulate deeply with dark, graceful folds like the long flowing skirts of days gone by. I do believe angels use this land as a heavenly quilt upon which they may rest as they journey to the gates of eternal love. Who's next?
And now Kathleen.
My name is Catherine Cook, a Point Reyes resident for the past 3 years, alumna of Green Gulch Farm and San Francisco Zen Center. I joined the class because writing had become a priority since first writing for the Point Reyes Light. I wanted to know and connect with Native California, the best example I know of being Tomales Bay State Park. How it is that I came to be here. I remember cross-pollinating iris from my father's hybridizing, carrying pollen on a stick from one iris to another stamen. Our garden was famous. Iris fanciers came from as far away as England to visit during iris season. I cut corsages for my teachers at school. Sitting at the breakfast table, which was awkward with silences and my father's domination, I sensed those farms south of us in central Illinois, wishing I were there. On Saturdays, the smell of manure at the riding stable, the barn full of horses, having a chance to ride, winning a blue ribbon in the annual show. After college, a trip to the Cape for summer musical theater, a home for the summer on the ocean, meeting a beautiful tall basketball star on the beach with whom I drove to California, where I attended the San Francisco Art Institute and then Green Gulch Farm. My first efforts at gardening were laughable. I oversowed my first bed of bachelor buttons with way too many seed packets. I drowned plants in my attempts to transplant, but eventually there was a moment when I stood in the middle of the field and knew I belonged to the earth before anything or anyone else. Years later, I was living in San Rafael in the old folks' home, where all other residents spent their days watching television behind closed doors. One very hot July day, I remember taking the children from Green Gulch Farm to Heart's Desire Beach and thought I must go there, and did. I got into the bay and swam. Driving to Heart's Desire from San Rafael became a weekly pilgrimage. There were other folks in West Marin from the Zen Center where I had lived for so long. I noticed older folks who were active in the park, riding horses, wearing hiking boots, folks talking to each other on the benches outside the grocery store. I saw the tiny seedlings of the cypress at the base of the tall trees in the state park. Aging grew to have a context in the whole of life. I consulted with the manager of the old folks' home where I was living about moving out there, and she said, "Why not? Just remember you will have to come back here someday." So far, I have not had to.
Good morning. My name is Gail Greenlees. As I think about it, I think it was the title of the class, Harvesting Your Life, that drew me to it. I don't consider myself really a writer, but I have led a life of varied experiences. So I thought that by writing about them, I could see threads and themes of meaning for me and others that otherwise were just isolated events. I am particularly drawn to the natural world and what it can teach me, so I'd like to read a short piece I wrote this spring outside the Point Reyes Fire Hall. I call it The Upside Down Nest. Recently, I found myself resting on the bench outside our local fire hall in the shade of a redwood tree. I watched the cars stopping and passing for a while. Then I turned my attention to the redwood litter under the tree, and I noticed a lump the same rusty color. What's that? I wondered. Carefully, I picked it up and turned it over to examine it more closely. I had found an empty nest. I marveled at its rustic craftsmanship and simple beauty. Redwood bark strands, tiny twigs, something soft and gray-brown, maybe fur, went into this treehouse built in some nook above where I sat. How many hours of labor went into it? Who occupied it and for how long? I could see a packed hollow in the center where the residents had nestled. Had eggs been laid? Had the strong gusts of wind we get here blown it down? And why was this spot chosen, where the sirens of the fire engines would disturb the birds and probably rattle the eggs they would lay? Perhaps I should have left the nest there so the materials could be reused by other birds. After all, this was one block away from where the annual recycle circus happens, showing the way goods get recirculated around here. Instead, I brought the nest home to admire it. Now, after enjoying it in my apartment, it feels like it needs to go back to the tree. Maybe one of the staff members at the fire hall, who are used to all kinds of rescues and have the proper equipment, would be willing to climb a ladder and return this tree home to a proper secure site. That will be my next step. Now it's Earth Day, April 22nd, 2015. And as I ponder the state of our Earth, the impact of humans acting without care for our dwelling place, and the resulting climate changes we are experiencing, I ask, will our nest be blown upside down? I hope not. What then are the actions we can take to keep our nest stable and safely nestled in the arms of our Earth Mother?
Do you want me to do what's there to do?
Oh, you are each so wonderful. Thank you. Let me just let listeners know this is KWMR, Community Radio for West Marin. You're listening to a special edition of Turning Pages. Writing teacher Renata Stendahl is here with four of her students from the class Harvesting Your Life. And if I'm right in remembering, Renata, the West Marin Senior Services helps sponsor this writing workshop.
Yes.
Do you want to say anything about the class, how people...
Well, we have a few more pieces.
We have a few more pieces.
Lovely.
We had prepared to read, and after that we can ask that question and hear about more how the group is working and what it's like.
We are close to the half hour, so I'm going to take this moment to do the business I need to do at the half hour. Again, it's KWMR, Point Reyes Station, Community Radio for West Marin. We broadcast at 90.5 Point Reyes Station, 89.9 Bolinas, and 92.3 San Geronimo Valley. And we'll be right back with more from the writers Harvesting Your Life.
This is Norma speaking. When I moved here, there was a cat that was always at my front door. Actually, I am allergic to cats, so I would not let him in. But anyway, this is my story of my relationship with the cat. It's called The Awakening. At first, when I saw him this morning skulking around, looking like he was feeling rotten, I was mad at Tiger, our neighborhood's stray cat. I guess he reminded me too much of myself because I was feeling rotten too. Then suddenly came the awakening. I have recently begun to believe that all living beings on this earth are connected. Therefore, aren't Tiger and I practically equal? I think we do experience the same things. Like, don't we both often look and feel sad? Don't we both try hard to be liked so we can fit in? Don't each of us work very hard to survive? Might we both suffer similar aches and pains in our muscles and joints? Doesn't he enjoy meowing as much as I do? And don't we both work on keeping up our appearances, he with a lick and I with a promise or a prayer? Before today, probably because of feelings of guilt, I thought of him as the neighborhood pest, but I changed my mind. So from now on, I shall try to be sweeter. The next time I see him resting on the hood of my car in front of the dashboard, if I have to leave, I will not yell at him as I used to do. I will just very gently pat him with my pillow. After all, we do belong to the same hood.
Fran, oh, why don't you pick up?
Okay. I'm going to introduce this one called On Top of Old Liberty. Do you remember the old song On Top of Old Smoky? We sang it as kids in scout gatherings and on picnics. You may even remember On Top of Spaghetti, which we loved even more than Old Smoky. My version is titled On Top of Old Liberty. It could be sung to the melody of Old Smoky. In my 20s and 30s, I used to do commissary for the week-long Sierra Club base camps. One summer, we were hiking in to set up the base camp when it started to snow in late June. The mules arrived with all the commissary gear. We unloaded the pack mules, set up the food tent, organized the outdoor cooking area, set up our own campsites, then retired for the night. Before falling asleep that night, I wrote this little ditty, which does take liberties with a few facts, but the scene is validly described. On top of old Liberty. On the pass they call Liberty, I was eating some cheese when all of a sudden it started to freeze. Like time-lapse photography in front of my eyes, a convention of storm clouds filled up the skies. I closed up my lunch bag, then hit the trail, but in less than a minute it started to hail. You may ask yourself, how could things get worse? Well, I'm going to tell you in the very next verse. The landmarks below me, the sky up above, all were as dark as the inside of a glove. I stumbled along, not a thing could I see. 2 seconds later, I walked into a tree. A branch caught my backpack. My whole life flashed past. I thought surely this day was my last. The tree finally freed me. I pressed ever on, ignoring the trail because it was gone. I walked off a cliff that fortunately was small, or I couldn't have told you this story at all. No track, trail or rock cairn remained to be found as hailstones and snowflakes covered the ground. Some others caught up to me. They all wanted to know, what the happened? Where'd the world go? I stood there and wondered what should I do, knowing my options were really quite few. I could keep on looking for the trail and the camp, all the while getting a lot more than damp. I could try to hole up right where I am, but would that really be less of a jam? Someone said, follow me, folks, I've been here before. We then heard a splash and saw him no more. I never did finish that one.
Sounds like he was finished, though.
Yes, Gail.
Okay, it's Gail Greenlee's again. I have a story I wrote about, it took place at Bear Valley. I call it The Resident Great Blue Heron. What is this long-legged, long-necked, long-beaked, big bird doing in the horse pasture? It looked like a blue heron, but the context wasn't right. I would usually see them at the water's edge. So I went into the Bear Valley Visitor Center and asked the nearest ranger, who is Chris Lish. He replied matter-of-factly that it was our resident great blue heron here for the pocket gophers. It stands still as a statue, In a field, I watched visitors walk nearby without even noticing it. One time, I walked up to nearby Kulilokolo, which is a replica of a Coast Miwok village. As I came around the ceremonial roundhouse, there in the meadow stood this very still great blue heron. I stopped and observed it. No movement, very focused. After a bit, I made my way around the edge of the meadow to a picnic table, parked myself down, and continued to watch it closely for half an hour. In that time, it might move a bit and then be still. Suddenly, it made a strike with its spear-like beak. But it didn't hit pay dirt. In 30 minutes of focused attention, it made only that one stab for a gopher. I wondered if it was able to feel the underground scurrying of gopher traffic and if that was how it determined where to strike. The gopher mounds of rototilled dirt above ground showed me where they had been working. Sometimes the mounds were in a line or a pattern. I became very curious what the underground network and village looked like. Out of sight to us above grounders, I realized there was a whole world down there of residents living their lives underground. What would that be like? Something more to investigate. I hear the great blue herons swallow their catch whole, and some have even watched as it moved down their long gullets. No meal preparation there. John Del Osso, who is Point Reyes Chief of Interpretation and Resource Education, told me he once watched a great blue heron catch a gopher in the horse pasture, walk over to the water trough, dunk it in the water, toss it up, and then swallow it. Wet, it must have slid down easier than dry and resembled more the feel of the wet fish that made up many of its meals. I admired the great blue heron's focused attention and ability to stand absolutely still until the right moment when it struck like lightning. I felt there was much here that I could harvest and chew on and perhaps apply to situations in my own life. Summarizing, here is what I have learned so far from the great blue heron. Be still and quiet. Listen for rumblings and signs of life. Place full attention on the task at hand. Stay focused. Be patient. Persevere. When the time is right, act quickly. Take in the whole of it. Not just a fragment. Enjoy the harvest and give thanks.
And the final poem by Norma.
This is a poem I just recently wrote. It's called "So What's There to Do?" I'm filled with old fears and anger too, and long ago pain. So what's there to do? Envy appears. I feel eager to fight, voice full of blame, words ready to bite. I'm often alone, phone quiet all day. I must be inane, or is everyone away? But what hurts most of all is that nothing is new. Our world is insane. So what's there to do?
That concludes the reading part for our first leg of the group.
And again, you, dear listener, are tuned to KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. This is a special edition of Turning Pages, writers from the group Harvesting Your Life. Renata Stendahl, Norma Schliftman, Catherine Cook, Gail Greenlees, and Fran, I've forgotten your last name.
Jekyll.
Fran Jekyll.
Now, this is
wonderful.
Only one half of the group, and we are planning a second reading with the other half of the group, which will be in October, and certainly you will find it in the program, or
yes.
Lyons will make an announcement about it when the time comes.
It's the 13th
October,
of October.
October 13th, 10 a.m., the other half of the group, Harvesting Your Life, writers.
I think it gives readers, listeners, an idea of the level of honesty and personal revelation and also humor that seems to be reigning in this group and is a constant delight for me and I think for everyone else.
If someone listening would like to find out about this writing group, how to join, what would they do, Renata?
Well, right now they would probably have to go on a waiting list, but in any case, contact me at 415-663-9197 or online, renata@renatastendahl.com.
And maybe you'd spell those it. Words.
Mm-hmm. Yes, or through senior services, of course, mm-hmm. Or through the radio station. There are many, many paths to find us. Renate, that's Renate, and going on to Stendahl, STENDHAL.com.
Great. Would any of you like to talk about what brought you to the class, why you continue with it?
I hear what you said.
What brought you to the class, Norma? Why did you join? What keeps you there?
Well, there was something that I wrote that I didn't bring in about the way I feel about the group. First of all, the people in the group, and there are a lot of very interesting people all over Point Reyes, not only in the writers group. And I just find them, as I say, very interesting, very nice people too, very caring. And that's why I joined.
I find, and I've been coming since the beginning, it's been more than a year and a half. It started out being just a 6 weeks class, and we were so interested, we just continued. And what was amazing for me is the richness that everybody brought. And listening to everybody's stories, each one so unique and different, whether they were writing poetry or prose, and the content was so different of each one. So that it was a very rich experience to come to the class, read your own, but also listen to the other classmates read theirs. So I just found it worth continuing, you might say. And I find, it's really interesting, I find now when I sit down in the morning and I have my quiet time, ideas will pop up then for a story to write. And so right after that, and I write a story.
Interestingly, today I noticed that everybody today has edited and repolished the piece they were reading that we had already worked over in the workshop, which was really beautiful to see that there is a process, of course, in writing that's not just writing and reading, but also thinking about how we wrote what we wrote. And I always gather the texts after every group and take them home and then make a few comments and suggestions and give encouragement to go on and maybe tweak the piece a little bit here, a little bit there, and make it an even more beautiful, accomplished text. And today, without me, everyone has done this for you and the radio and for our listeners, and I'm really surprised and very pleased. That's good writer's work from the workshop.
Well, just let me say that when we bring our work to the group, we have two copies, one that we read and the other one that we give to Renata. Now, Renata's comments are very, very important. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do a lot of changes. So don't forget that.
Yes, it's like Renata doesn't lecture per se like you might get in a writing class, but when somebody reads a piece and they have come in with a certain style or something, she will let us know that that's a very important way to get your point across, the meaning across, and she will tell you how it fits into literary styles and stuff like that. So these comments come in evoked by our pieces, not that she comes prepared with a lecture every week.
Right. She's responding to what you have brought in and read.
That's right.
And puts it in the larger context.
Yes, so that's been so helpful.
Wow. Anybody else want to say a little something? Or a big something?
I guess what I'd like to say is that, you know, writing and Point Reyes have been indelibly linked in my mind for about 10 years because I first started coming out here from San Rafael just to be in this place. But at that time, I started writing for the Point Reyes Light. My first actual newspaper job was to write a review of a concert that happened out here for the Point Reyes Light. And then Jim Kravitz was my mentor for many years when I was writing for the Light. So that's writing and Point Reyes have been indelibly linked with each other for me.
Well, I don't have training as a writer, and I'm not an onstage person. I'd be happy to make the scenery, print the program, design this. I'll make your costumes. Don't put me on stage because I'm mute on stage. I'd rather be shot. So I have literally never shared what I wrote today, to what I read today, because I didn't think anybody'd be interested. And I've had such a good time with the group. I really enjoy everybody's pieces. They're fascinating. And I'm driving in from San Francisco every time I come to this group, and will continue to do so. Thank you, Renata.
It's interesting, Fran, when you say I didn't know that anybody would be interested. That's, I think, how we all feel, basically. That's how my parents felt, too. And it takes very little. It takes one question or one family member or one friend who is curious about and says, I would like to hear that. You have writing in your drawer. You have a drawer filled with pieces and memories and stories. Hey, come out with it, you know. And then to find a context for that makes us, I think, less shy and less embarrassed about this very private thing. Writing is a very private and most often solitary effort to express our souls and our feelings. So the invitation to get together and develop a level of honesty and humor and permission to be exactly who we are and write exactly how we like, and yet be aware that we are writers. We are real writers. We are not just hobbyists. We take this seriously, and therefore we are part of the big field of literature and art, as well as very private people. I love this about the group, this mixed combination of the private and the personal and the shared and the communal.
How often does the group meet?
Every 2 weeks, quite regularly, and it's always packed.
And is there a, quote, assignment to bring a new piece of writing each time?
No, there is really just this one rule, bring whatever you have, what would you like to share, but it can't be too long. It can only be 2 pages, and that's the only restriction here. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, interestingly, there is a constant flow of creativity in the group. We never lack new pieces or old pieces that come out of the drawer and are being shared and then reworked sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know for each of you, which part of the process is the easiest, which is the hardest? There's the blank piece of paper. There's going back and editing. There's presenting, reading it aloud to your comadres and compadres. What is the experience of the writing for you?
I actually wanted to make a comment about the previous question, if I may. I want to acknowledge that it was a book. It was Kat Anderson's Tending the Wild, which is what brought me out here in the first place. And to learn about the history of Native California, when I basically lived in the suburbs and on the East Coast my whole life, was a real gift and a big inspiration. And I made it almost, it was almost a religious practice. When I was living in San Rafael, I was in the old folks' home, and I would drive out here and sit down somewhere downtown and open that book and read a few more pages of Tending the Wild each time until I finally got through the whole book. But having a sense of the history of California was huge for me.
A sacred text for you, Kat's book.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of the others of you inspired by any particular person's writing? Any particular writer you admire?
I remember reading and rereading and rereading Cahil Gibran. Oh, it's, I still reread it.
This is KWMR, West Marin Community Radio, a special edition of Turning Pages. Renata Stendahl and 4 of her writing students from a group called Harvesting Your Life. Norma, Catherine, Gail, and Fran are here today. And on October 13th, 4 more with Renata will be joining us on the air. So do mark your calendar for that. October 13th, 10 a.m. for another Harvesting Your Life on Turning Pages. Well, we could sing a version of On Top of Spaghetti. I completely remember that. On top of spaghetti, all covered with snow.
Cheese.
Cheese, sorry.
Wrong one. I lost my poor meatball when somebody sneezed.
yep. I wonder if the next generations are singing it. Have to find out. I have to do some research. Why writing? Why is writing a good outlet for you, or a good form of expression, as opposed to swimming or singing, or maybe you do all of those as well?
I would like to say that it helps me to see important threads in my life coming together in some sort of woven tapestry, you might say, that I might not see because, as I said in my introduction, they seem like isolated events, and yet they are so different from each other. But when I start writing them down, I begin to see the connections between them, okay, and how they have shaped my life. So that's why writing for me.
Yeah, I'll agree with Gail. They're
are many things in my lifetime that I have not understood why this happened, why somebody did a particular thing. And writing it down, then rereading it, little pieces I didn't notice at the time will fall into place. And I get a better perspective on what was actually going on. That doesn't mean that I don't still want to bite somebody, but at least I understand what's going on better.
I started writing when I was a child, and then at about 12, it became compulsive diary writing. Mm-hmm. Everything had to be written. It was like writing for life. Mm-hmm. And just like Gail said, it was the magical process of meaning that appeared in the even just totally unconscious, automatic sort of quetching and complaining and wishing and desiring and wanting. That was a young person's diary, and still is my process, you know, writing dreams and trying to find the meaning. And writing always brings, just by pure magic, some elucidation. A light goes on, and suddenly the meaning becomes clear. Mm-hmm. That's always my experience.
Well, I know that most of you are aware of that. I have interests like I have. When I grew up, I was extremely shy. I think that's what happens to many of us when we're very young, and we get creative, perhaps to give ourselves some kind of an outlet. Anyway, I was very shy, and all these things, I mean, you know about, you people know about, but my mother died when I was 16, and that was a very difficult time for me. Being shy, what amazes me is that I, first of all, I graduated from high school. In those days, a whole class was skipped at one time. And so I graduated when I was 16, and I immediately took classes in Marxism, and I studied opera. I made puppets. I still work with my puppets. I made them many years ago, and I find a song, let's say, that I could make a man and a woman's singing to each other, one on each arm. And so I do a lot of things, and it always amazes me that I did all these things despite the fact that I was shy. But perhaps it's because I was shy that that's what happened.
So we have to say goodbye, and I am sorry that the hour is over. Thank you all so much for coming in to KWMR. Fran Jekyll, Gail Greenlees, Catherine Cook, Norma Schliffman, Renata Stendahl. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you
for inviting us, Lyons.
This is KWMR, Point Reyes Station.